The next case this morning is case number 2017-72, Menlo Realty Income Properties 28 LLC versus Franklin County Board of Revision. And for the appellant, Mr. Sleggs.
May it please the court, my name is Todd Sleggs and I represent the appellant Menlo Realty 28 LLC. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal. This is a 2014 tax year appeal out of Franklin County. The property is a 10,572 square foot condominium property that is leased to CVS under a 22 year and 4 month lease. This case came to be because the property sold subject to that lease on June 20th of 2013 for $4,865,000. And the Appalachian Board of Education filed an assessment complaint with the Franklin County Auditor requesting the property be revalued to the sale price. When the case came up for hearing before the Board of Revision, we discussed the recent amendment to revise code 5713.03, and we provided a copy of that to the board. And then on behalf of Menlo Realty 28 LLC, our office engaged the appraisal firm of Samuel D. Kuhn and Associates to advise us as to the unencumbered fee simple value of the real estate under the statute. And we had Mr. Kuhn testify to his appraisal at the Franklin County Board of Revision and explain what he observed in the market in terms of what market rent, market occupancy, and market cap rates were as of the lien date in the case, which was January 1 of 2014. And it was Mr. Kuhn's opinion that the unencumbered fee simple value of the real estate was $3,900,000. The Board of Revision adopted the sale price, and Menlo Realty 28 LLC appealed the case to the Board of Tax Appeals. And the Board of Tax Appeals essentially followed the Board of Revision's lead in adopting the sale price as the value of the property as of January 1 of 2014. And they say in their opinion, and I'm quoting, "We need not address the reliability of Kuhn's appraisal as his value and his value conclusions, because once evidence of a qualifying sale has been presented, it is only when the purchase price does not reflect the true value that a review of independent appraisals based upon other factors is appropriate." And they cite the Pingway case. This case by the Board of Tax Appeals was decided prior to this court's decision in the Terraza case. And so we believe that the case should be remanded to the Board of Tax Appeals with instructions to consider the appraisal evidence in the case when determining unencumbered fee simple value under 5713.03 as amended. They do, in their decision, and when I say they, the Board of Tax Appeals, they do make a passing reference to Mr. Kuhn's findings with respect to market rent and cap rate. But the real key in this case is that we had a property that was 100% occupied for under a long-term lease. And it was Mr. Kuhn's findings that vacancy in the market was 7.5%, which would lead to a 92.5% occupancy. And the Board of Tax Appeals, other than the statement that I quoted where they feel they didn't need to consider it, they really never got, in my opinion, to the heart of Mr. Kuhn's appraisal, which is, you know, when you have a property that sells encumbered by a long-term lease, the difference between that and market value is the consideration of vacancy and collection loss, because you don't have that periodic vacancy when you have a long-term lease that you have when you have shorter term leases. So we believe that this case can best be analyzed and decided under Terraza 8. And we believe that Mr. Kuhn's analysis is consistent with generally accepted appraisal practices. We talk a little bit about the guidance that is provided to appraisers under the Appraisal Institute's real estate, they call it the Bible, I call it the AIREA book. But we cited that in our brief about the consideration not only of rent but also term in an appraisal. And that's discussed at page 6 in our brief. And we also note that that appraisal guidance is consistent with the guidance that's provided in the Ohio Administrative Code under the income approach to look at, and I'm quoting now, normal vacancy and credit losses. And we believe that Mr. Kuhn did that in his appraisal. We also raised the issue of Rule 703 in this case because of some of the criticisms that the Board of Tax Appeals raised with respect to our evidence. And we believe that Mr. Kuhn's review of the lease in this case is consistent with what appraisers do, and that his consideration of the lease and testimony regarding the lease did not constitute hearsay because of the exception provided under 703. We did provide the lease abstract to the Board of Education during the course of discovery, so if they felt that there were any inaccuracies in terms of what Mr. Kuhn was representing in terms of the lease, that could have been corrected before the Board of Tax Appeals. And so we feel that we met our burden in terms of rebutting the sale as not reflecting unencumbered fee simple value under 5713.03 as amended.
And just so I know, right. Understand for sure, your rebuttal is not to attack the arm's length nature of the recency. It's
right.
To attack it as an encumbered because of the lease.
That's correct. And I think that, and I will apologize to the court, I listened to both BOR recordings, and if I'm confusing this with the earlier case, I apologize. But I think I may have said, to the board that, if there was a difference between, if there wasn't any difference between Mr. Kuhn's conclusion of unencumbered fee simple value and the sale, then we wouldn't be here. And so when we have an encumbrance like a lease, particularly here, it's 22 years and 4 months. It's incumbent on us, or I feel it is me as a practitioner advising my clients to retain a local MAI appraiser to provide us the guidance that Mr. Kuhn did in this case. I did file a notice of additional authority in this case when the Bronx case was decided by the court, because of the fact that there has been an issue as these cases work their way back down to the Board of Tax Appeals, bless you, in terms of whether the record should be opened. And I believe that the court in the Bronx case indicated that no additional evidence was required on remand in that case. I feel that our facts are similar and that the parties had an opportunity to submit evidence at the Board of Revision and the Board of Tax Appeals. So if the court grants our request to remand the case to the Board of Tax Appeals to consider our evidence, we don't believe that the record needs to be opened for additional evidence. And I'd like to reserve whatever time I have left for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Allison.
Thank you. Good morning. So as we've heard this morning, the Terraza Court recently held that the sale of an encumbered property is presumed to be the best evidence of value, and following the revisions to 5713.03, a property owner can now rebut a sale in one of three ways. They can prove that the sale was not arm's length, the sale was not recent, or that the sale price was influenced by an above-market lease. In Terraza, the court remanded the case to the BTA because they found the BTA failed to consider the market rent study contained in the appraisal report to determine if the lease in place at the time of sale provided for contract rents that were above market. This case is very different than Terraza. It is our argument that the BTA did more than make a passing reference to Mr. Kuhn's report. In fact, they thoroughly considered it, and they determined that there was no evidence contained in the report to establish that the contract rents were above market. The BTA specifically found that appellant failed to prove that the lease was superior to market conditions. They did exactly what the court in Terrazza instructed them to do, even though Terrazza wasn't yet decided, but they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They specifically found that the data in Mr. Kuhn's report actually supported that the lease was market. They relied upon the fact that Mr. Kuhn's rent was not significantly above Mr. Kuhn's market rent was not specifically above the contract rents, and Mr. Kuhn's 6% cap rate was based primarily upon the 6.07% cap rate for the subject sale. In this case, the appellant argues that the sale must be disregarded because the single-tenant property was occupied at the time of sale. However, the sale of a single-tenant property does not need to be adjusted for market occupancy because there is no market occupancy for single-tenant properties. They would always be 0% or 100% occupied. So a single-tenant property could never reflect a market vacancy of 7.5%. Therefore, if we accept appellant's argument, we're essentially saying that single-tenant leased properties could never be valued at their true value in money because they could never be valued at the sale price.
I think I understand your argument, but how do we reconcile that with what Mr. Sleggs pointed out at the end of the BTA decision when it said, we need not address the reliability of the Kuhn's appraisal? And then prior to that, it's the BTA is citing pre-Terrazza, pre-Bronx Park case law that pretty much excludes the appraisal evidence. So how do we reconcile what the BTA is doing here when it pretty explicitly says we're not going to address this appraisal?
So I think under the court's decision in Terrazza, the BTA is required to look at the appraisal report to see if there's evidence contained in the report to rebut the sale. They're not required to accept the appraisal just because it offers an alternative opinion of value, because then you no longer have the presumption that the sale price is the best evidence. You still must first, in some way, rebut that the sale that the lease was above market, essentially, under Terrazza.
So your position is that the sale price has to be attacked in some way.
Absolutely.
Before an appraisal evidence comes into play.
Well, you can consider evidence in the appraisal to attack the sale, but
sure.
You can't just attack it by the fact that the appraiser opines a different opinion of value.
And is that view consistent with the Bronx Park decision?
We think it is. I mean, in that case, again, the BTA did not consider anything in the appraisal to determine whether the property owner had rebutted the sale. In this case, they did. I mean, they specifically determined that the contract rents were close enough to market and that the cap rate was essentially the same. Okay, turning to a vacancy deduction for single-tenant properties, such a deduction is inappropriate because buyers of single-tenant properties typically account for the vacancy factor or the risk of future vacancy and the cap rate that they're willing to pay for the property. Essentially, a cap rate is the rate of return that a purchaser anticipates on a property based upon future income. A purchaser attempts to quantify this risk of future ownership by the cap rate that they are willing to pay for the property. In fact, Mr. Kuhn recognizes that the cap rate paid for the sale of the subject property includes all risk factors that went into appellant's decision to purchase the property. Specifically on page D10, he states, overall cap rates include all of the factors that went into an investor's decision to purchase the property. So clearly the cap rate included the purchaser's anticipated future risk that the property may someday be 100% vacant. Mr. Kuhn goes on to state, in general, newer fully leased facilities in favorable location tend to show lower overall rates, while lesser properties have a higher overall rate. Therefore, by adding a vacancy to the amount of risk that the buyer has already anticipated in the cap rate is in essence a double deduction. It's very different than proving that the property sold subject to an above market lease, because there the property is generating additional income beyond what it could generate in the open market. Here we're just talking about the the potential for future income, and that is definitely accounted for in the cap rate. Okay, again, we believe that the property owner has misconstrued Terraza, that you can't rebut a sale price simply by coming forward with appraisal evidence offering a different value, whether there must be an analysis in the appraisal to prove that the contract rent was above market.
I just want to get your view on an excerpt from Bronx Park. I'm looking at paragraph 12 in Bronx Park.
Okay.
At that point, the court says, when property was the subject of a recent arm's length sale, the General Assembly has directed taxing authorities to consider not just the sale price, but also any other evidence the parties present that is relevant to the value of the unencumbered fee simple estate. So with that in mind, I guess, is your view then that the appraisal at issue in this case is not relevant to the value of the unencumbered fee simple estate? Is that your argument?
That is it. Until they rebut the sale, then there's no reason to get to the value conclusion set forth in the report.
You're saying it doesn't become relevant until, unless other facts or the appraisal itself attacks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that's played out in the recent decision. Okay, so in Notestein Manor, the court specifically interpreted Terraza to hold that the sale price of an encumbered property is presumed to be the best evidence of the value of the unencumbered fee simple estate. So even then, they're still recognizing that there's a presumption that has to be rebutted before you can get to an alternative evidence of value.
And I think your argument reminds me of, or makes me think of the new language in 57.1303 about the unencumbered language.
Yes.
But it also changed, the statute also changed the shall to the may.
It did.
So how does that part of the statutory change affect this? Because that second, the change from shall to may doesn't necessarily involve the idea of whether it's unencumbered or encumbered.
That's correct. But it's our position that, you know, fee simple unencumbered, a lease can only have an impact on the value of the property if the lease is above or below market. If a property sells subject to a market lease, then it has no value on the property because it adds nothing. It's just the property owner realizing the rent that they could get from anyone else in the market. And the fact that the General Assembly did not amend 57.1301B, we think is also significant because that still requires county auditors to appraise property at its true value in money. True value in money is defined to mean the price at which a property did or should sell for on the open market. An appraisal is nothing more than an educated guess as to what a property may sell for. And here we don't need that because we know exactly what the property would sell
for.
But
does that not go to the weight of the evidence more than its relevance or admissibility? Aren't these considerations just things that the BTA should be considering as far as how much weight it's going to give either to the sale or to the appraisal?
We still think that the sale needs to be rebutted before they get to the value conclusions. Otherwise, you're essentially putting the cart before the horse. You're saying that you can consider an appraiser's subjective opinion of what the property may sell for to rebut the actual value that the property did sell for. And in cases since Terraza, the court has consistently stated that a sale price is still presumed to be the best evidence of value. So somehow that has to be rebutted. We think that all Terraza did was expand the way that the sale can be rebutted by including evidence in an appraisal to show that the lease was not at market. So if there's nothing further, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
We would request that the court affirm the Board of Tax Appeals. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sleggs, you have 6 minutes and 40 seconds remaining.
Thank you. I think that the appellee's interpretation of Terraza is too narrow. I mean, Terraza did specifically deal with the issue of market rent, but I think unencumbered fee simple value is more than just market rent. As I mentioned in my initial comments, the Board of Tax Appeals did not get to what I believe is the heart of Mr. Kuhn's appraisal, which is the fact that you have to look at what market vacancy is. And the fact that this is a single tenant property, in my opinion, and there's no evidence in the record to contradict this, is that it's part of the overall market of properties. And if we're going to value all real estate at market occupancy, that includes single tenant properties. And I think Mr. Kuhn appropriately considered that in his appraisal, and I don't believe that there's any evidence in the record to support the appellee's claim that the cap rate captures that differential. But I do think that the section from the Bronx case that the court cited indicates that the General Assembly intended that the taxing authorities could consider any other evidence that the parties feel might be relevant when they're looking at a sale. In this particular case, we relied on a local MII appraiser to provide us with that evidence, but I would imagine that there are other types of evidence that the taxing authorities that could consider when trying to determine whether a sale reflects unencumbered fee simple value. And I believe I did touch on in a footnote in the brief, in our brief, that to the extent that the Ohio Administrative Code section dealing with the determination of true value is inconsistent with revised code 5713.03 as amended, that the statute would control over the Ohio Administrative Code. And so to the extent that there is any inconsistency between the directives from the tax commissioner under the Ohio Administrative Code and the directives of the General Assembly under revised code 5713.03, those administrative code rules would have to be revised to be consistent with the revised code. And other than that, I would suggest that, you know, uniformity really requires that all property be assessed at market occupancy, and that's a very important part of Mr. Kuhn's appraisal, and the Board of Tax Appeals does not reach that in their decision. And I believe that for that reason, the case should be remanded to the Board of Tax Appeals with instructions to consider our appraisal evidence in determining unencumbered fee simple value. Thank you.
Thank you. This case will be submitted, and you'll be advised of the court's decision.